Well, I'm going to ask you to make your way to your seat so we go ahead and get started. We will get to these if you, hopefully you all, I'm looking around, it looks like you all have received one of these labels. We'll talk about this in a moment. Today I want to talk to you. We started last Sunday a new series of sermons called Identity, and what that means for us. The world today has hijacked that word identity, and it's been about, they've made it about gender, they've made it about race, they've made it about so many different things today. But to be honest with you, identity is much more than any of those things. In the world today, many kids in schools and many young adults are being asked, what do they identify with? Or who do they identify as? What they're really asking today, I believe, is they're not really asking about identity, because I think identity is more than just those things. What they're truly asking is the labels that you're applying to yourself. Last week, I shared a story with, as I walked into a store, and I'm there at the store, and this the lady at the counter had on a name tag, and it had all of her preferred pronouns. And as I was shopping at the store, I was purchasing something, and I said, thank you, ma'am, and she just gave me this look, and she pointed to her name tag and said, I prefer they or them. I said, well, I've been raised as a young man to be polite, and when someone who is a female, or looks to be a female to me, proceeds to do something, I say, thank you, ma'am. No offense, please. I'm not trying to offend you in any way. There are many labels that people wear. Some of them are really good labels. This past year, I was able to take on the label as Papa. It's my favorite label now. I love being a grandpa, and I love being Papa, I should say. I'm not grandpa, I'm Papa. And this past, I'll give you a real quick story. This past Wednesday, my wife's grandmother passed away last weekend, and we had a burial service for her at the cemetery. And as I'm standing up there, I'm getting ready to start the service, and my granddaughter looks at me, and she just yells, right as I'm getting ready to pray, Papa! And I look up and I just smiled at her, and I didn't recognize her other than smile at her. And so I put my head down to start praying again. And of course, what does she do? Papa! And so I looked up and I said, hello, Adeline. She goes, hi. And so you have to recognize a child. You're right. When a child recognizes you, you have to recognize a child. My daughter politely grabbed my granddaughter and took her behind the bushes so she couldn't see me, because otherwise she would have been saying hello to me the whole entire service. I love that label, though. You know, there's other labels I really like, too. Husband, father, pastor. I love those labels. Those are wonderful labels that I get to wear, I get to be, and those are good things. But then there are other labels that are not so much a good thing. Some of those are anxious. Some of those are stressed. I'll tell you, I told the story again last week when I went to the doctor. I'm 50 years old. I just turned 50, and I go to a doctor for a checkup, and the very first thing he tells me is that I'm pre-diabetic and I'm morbidly obese. That's when I'm like, thanks, doc, thanks. I just turned 50. Can you, like, slow down a little bit, you know, giving me little pieces at a time. Those are all labels that we wear. These are labels that are applied to us. See, the problem, though, is that labels don't make an identity. Your label that you wear, that label that says who you are, or what people have named you, are not the things that create who you are as your identity. We have to understand that labels that are given to us are just that. They're labels. People are doing these things. I have to warn you, though, that words have power to them. We're going to talk about that in a moment. But words have strong power to them if we allow them. See, the only power that words have over top of us are the ones that we give that power to. And so a label that is negative can only have power over top of you if you allow it to have power over you. The simple truth is that labels, good or bad or indifferent, only have the power that we give to them. Think about it today. Have you been labeled a certain thing? Has someone called you a certain thing? My tag says procrastinator. In the business world, I was often called the procrastinating turtle. That was my nickname, the turtle. And I was bothered by this one day, and I said, why do you call me a turtle, and why do you call me a procrastinator? Because you're so slow in making decisions. You don't make them on the spot. And I said, you do know why I do that, right? No, why? Why do you take so long to make decisions? Because I go in and pray about them. And so when you come and ask me for something, I'm not going to give you an immediate answer. I like to seek the Lord and those answers, have the Lord guide me. And so they didn't understand that. And they said, well, that's procrastination, is what they told me in the business world. And so I wore this title. But this identity, this label, or my identity has nothing to do with this label. I was very successful in the business world. I was very humble too, it sounds like, right? I just said, oh, really? That wasn't so good. No, I had a successful career. God blessed me with a successful career in the business world. So it wasn't just that label that I wore. Our story today comes from the Old Testament. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 4. We're going to be reading verses 9 and 10. I'm going to make Pastor Chaz really happy today by telling you that we are reading from the New King James Version today. I happen to like the New King James Version of this verse better than I do the ESV, which is I normally read from. So turn with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, because I bore him in pain. Let's just pause. I can't go on. I got to pause there for a moment, right? What is Jabez's mother thinking about? I have yet to meet a mother, and maybe one of you ladies here that have given birth can tell me whether this is true or not, but I have yet to meet a mother that says, my child did not cause pain when I was born, when the child was born. Every child causes pain when they're born. Some more than others. I was talking with Lydia before church this morning, and we were talking about natural versus give me the drugs. I don't want to feel any pain, right? Births. That happens. My wife gave birth naturally to my daughter, and I was fascinated as I watched her do this because I knew the pain that she was in. So much so that she transferred her pain to my finger because she squeezed it so hard that there was a crack in the middle of this. And the nurse leans down and goes, I think she just broke your finger. And I'm like, I know she did. The truth of the matter, though, is that every child causes pain during childbirth. So what was Jabez's mother thinking about? You know, we don't hear any of the story. This is the only part of Jabez's life that we hear about in Scripture. Very little, we hear nothing else. So we don't know whether Jabez was, whether his mom had a terrible childbirth and maybe the child came out backwards. I don't know, maybe came out sideways. I don't know, right? All we know is that Jabez's mother called him Jabez because she bore him in pain. Talking about a label, that's a huge label to wear. Could you imagine being a child that walks around saying, I remind my mother that I was painful when I was born, right? Jabez, everywhere he went, oh, you're the boy that caused pain. See, back then, in these days, it's much different than today. Today, we're called Tom, we're called Jason, we're called Chaz, we're called all of these things. There's not a lot of meaning behind names today. There is much meaning behind many names, but we don't think about that today. Back then, your name was everything. It described who you were. Yeah, who you was. It described who you was. English is not my strong suit. It described who you were. It described the characteristics, the family that you came from, the things that you did. Many people were called these things. Jesus actually renamed his disciples because he wanted their name to mean something else. We see that often, right? Paul, for example, wasn't always Paul. Simon Peter became Peter. We see all of these names changing. Jesus gives them new names. Jabez here, though, is wearing this name, Jabez, because I bore him in pain. Verse 10 then goes on to say, and Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. So God granted him what he requested. Let's pause and pray, and then we'll jump right back in. Lord, we thank you so much today that we can just stand before you and worship you. Father, we do have a voice inside of us. We have voices to share with others. And so may we worship you. May we let that lion roar that's inside of us come out and give you praise and glory and honor because you deserve it so much. Lord, today as we look at the story of Jabez, may we be reminded that labels don't identify who we are. They are just that, labels, a description of something that may have happened for a period of time. Lord, I pray that you would just help us to grasp a hold of what you're speaking to us, that you would open our minds, remove any hindrances from our ears and from our mind and from anything that would keep us from stumbling and hearing from what you would have to say to us through these verses today. Guide us and strengthen us today and always, Father. May we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. And I pray that my words are not my own today, Father, but they would truly be your words. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We find some really interesting things here, and we find that Jabez is living under a label. I love this story so much, and if you have ever had the chance, there is an older book called The Prayer of Jabez. It's written by Bruce Wilkinson. Wonderful book, and it was an amazing prayer, and it was very popular for a period of time, I think in the 90s, early 90s probably, right? Mid-90s. Wonderful book. There is something about this prayer that Jabez makes that sticks. See, we find in the book of 1 Chronicles, as you're reading through, you're seeing a genealogy of history. You're seeing all of these people, all of these names. And if you're like me, you're probably be reading through and going, okay, Lord, what is the meaning to this? Why do I have to know that this person begat this person that begat this person that begat that person, right? And we're going through all of these things. Many of these names I can't even pronounce, and I've been to seminary. But then right in the middle of this chapter, right in the middle of chapter 4, there's this story of Jabez that's setting there. And it's an amazing story. Now, we know a few things about Jabez. Let's jump back to verse 9 for a moment. We see that Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. So we know that Jabez was an honorable man. He had honor. He had he did something well. Scripture is calling him that he is honorable, even more honorable than his brothers. Yet he also has done something. His birth, his childbirth, was painful to his mother because that's how he got the name Jabez. But we find and we must understand that Jabez's prayer started with his honorable life. And then we flip over to verse 10 and we find that Jabez called on the God of Israel. So Jabez was not only honorable, but he also called on the God of Israel. It doesn't say that the rest of Jabez's brothers called on the God of Israel, but Jabez did. Somehow Jabez had a relationship with God. Somehow Jabez had something that was more important to him. But we also then find later on in this verse that he is struggling, if you will. He's struggling with the fact that his mother called him Jabez. And he's asking the Lord, may I not cause pain? Just a simple fact that he's saying, may I not cause pain, is a story of Jabez himself. He wants to not cause pain any longer. He's an honorable man who follows God, but somewhere in his life he has caused pain. So we find that Jabez is living under a huge label. Could you imagine Jabez going through school? Could you imagine Jabez playing with his friends? Oh, here comes Jabez. Here comes the man who causes mother pain, right? Young men are brutal, let me tell you. On the playground, there's a lot of things that get said. Jabez, I'm sure, was teased. I'm sure Jabez was roasted a little bit, like I roast Pastor Chaz. His label, by the way, if you see, is picked on. And he wears it wisely. But see, this name and this idea, I've already mentioned this, but I just want to again reiterate that the names meant something. Jabez's name meant something. It was a reason why he received this name, and he had to live with it the rest of his life. Jabez is going through this life living underneath this label. I don't know why Jabez's mother called him that, but he did. Jabez wore this label for his whole entire life. Maybe perhaps you're here today and you grew up in a lifestyle or grew up in a house that you were made fun of. You were picked on. Maybe in school you were picked on and you wore a label then. I certainly did when I was in high school and middle school. I was called, have you ever heard of the Weeble Wobbles? You ever heard of the Weeble Wobbles? Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down, right? You know? That was my nickname in school, Weeble Wobble, because I was short and I was a little heavier. And so the people would call me Weeble Wobble, or they'd call me Bucky the Beaver because I had a really bad overbite. My teeth would stick straight out. Chris, you know, she knows exactly what I'm talking about. We grew up together. These labels, though, that you wear, these labels that you take upon are just that. The problem of it is that we don't understand that words have power. I'm going to pause here for a moment in Jabez's life and just talk about this for a moment, because words have power. They affect people. When you jokingly say something about someone else, you have to understand that you don't have any clue how that's going to be received and where it's going to be taken to. The problem with us today, the problem with many human beings, is that we often make fun of someone else because we're trying to make ourselves better or feel better. And so if we can put someone else down, that makes us a step up the ladder, if you will, so to speak. But the problem with all of this is that those words stick and they change people. I have counseled people who are still dealing with the pain and suffering of a word that was given to them when they were very young as a child. And it totally changed the course of their life. It totally changed everything that they were. Their life was going down a path, and then all of a sudden someone calls them something, and guess what? There's almost a 180, that would be, right? 180 degree turn, almost at 360. And I'm like, that's not right. People walk the same way. Our words have power. And sometimes out of anger, sometimes out of stupidity, sometimes out of defiancy, we call people names that stick. If you're here today and you're a mom or a dad or a grandpa or grandma, aunt, uncle, any of those things, we have to be very careful what we say to our kids. Our kids wear the labels that we give to them. Our kids wear exactly what we say. If you tell your child that they'll never turn out to be a good person because of this, or they're stupid because they failed algebra, or or they're whatever. You're never going to be a good kid because you're always having problems. You're never going to ride the longboard again. Those words that we say, though, stick. And it's even worse. See, as adults, we have this way, we have this ability to process through and say, that person is hurting. Sometimes we have this ability. I shouldn't say always, because some adults don't have that. Some adults can't take criticism from other people, which that is also not good either. But sometimes we have to get to our place and we have to say, listen, as adults, we have to hear those words and say, that's not who I am. That person is having problems with me and it's okay. But I'm not going to receive what they say. Scripture tells us that you can receive blessings, you can deny blessings, you can receive curses, and you can deny curses. Scripture is very clear on that. And sometimes those words that people say to us are those very things. Sometimes as a husband and wife, we say things all the time to our wives. You never do this, or you always do that, or you are always, why do you always do that? Why do you always make me mad? Why can't you do this? Why can't... Those words matter. Those words that we speak in anger, those words that we say when we are in a fight matter. So we have to be very careful. We have to choose our words wisely. Why, if you love someone, would you want to harm them? Yes, I understand. As husbands and wife, as mom and dads, as people who live together in households, it's easy because we have this level of acceptance that, oh, it's okay for me to say these things because they're always going to be there. Well, guess what? We don't know the impact that you're making on that person. You can be angry at someone and not tear them down, by the way. You can be disappointed with your wife or your husband and not cause harm. You could ask them and use labels in a different way. Why do we always say things that are hurtful? Why don't we say things that are positive? As a manager of a large department in a Fortune 500 company, I learned this very quickly, that it was much easier for me to manage people and encourage people if I went to them when I was sharing bad news to start with something good. To try to find some... Now, listen, that doesn't mean... There are some times I had to manage people that it was really, really hard to find something good. But I always challenged myself to find something inside of that personality, that person. Because you know what I found out? Is what I found was that if I started with doing something good, that this is what they did good, and then I went into it and say, listen, but I think we need to work on this. And then you go into the negative impacts of that, it was much more well received than going and going, I can't believe how stupid you are. Why did you do that? We have to be careful because we have to understand that our words matter. So we must choose them wisely, especially when we're talking to kids. Especially when you're managing and molding and building up a child's life. May we learn to use the words that will be encouraging, uplifting, edifying. Those are scriptural words, by the way. That's what God asked for us to do. If you read Jesus and you read the story of Jesus and his life here on earth, every time he spoke, he used edifying, encouraging, uplifting words, even when he was telling them something that was really bad. Over and over and over again, the stories of Jesus and the interactions that he had with the people that needed to hear something bad started with something good. Jesus was very humble and he was gentle, but he was also truthful. Let's make sure that we choose our words wisely. Verse 10, Jabez called upon the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my border, and that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from harm. That's the ESV version. I'm going to go back to the New King James Version. He says, and Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, and that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. So God granted him what he requested. See, the interesting thing about this story is that Jabez is living under this label of pain. He's living under this label that describes him as someone who causes pain. But what does he do? He goes to the God of Israel, the God that he wants to follow, the God that if you're a Christian today, that's the God you follow too. The God of Israel is our God, the same God that Jabez was following. And he's asking God to do something. He's asking God to take something that has caused him pain, his name, and turn it into something good. God, by the way, has an amazing aptitude for doing those things. Of course, Scripture tells us that God makes all things good. And what was intended for evil, he turns to what? Good. Right. God promises us that he will turn the bad into good. So right here in the middle of the story of Jabez, we find that Jabez, in the laundry list of the things that he has done, the pain that he has been caused, he decides, I'm going to God the Father and I'm asking him to turn my bad into good. Do something in me that I can't do. And so he begins to pray. His prayer is that he called upon the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed. He's asking God to bless him. He's asking God to receive the blessings that he has for him. I can only imagine that Jabez's life has been nothing but difficulty up to this point. The simple fact that Jabez is asking for a larger territory means that Jabez doesn't like his current positioning. He doesn't feel like he has enough. And so what he's doing, he's asking God to bless him and enlarge his territory. See, territory back then was a big thing. Again, the more land you owed, the more land you owned, meant you were blessed. And so Jabez, living under this label of pain, probably lived a complete life that was not even blessed in any way because he lived under this label his whole entire life. So he's going to God and saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me. We can't forget this part. Jabez is asking the Lord that his hand would be with him, that he would remove him. The Lord's Prayer, what does the Lord's Prayer say as we read the Lord's Prayer? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into what? Jesus was teaching his disciples to do exactly what Jabez has done. Jesus is teaching his disciples to pray that Jesus would God would not lead them into temptation, but they would lead them away from temptation, and that they would then instead be blessed. See, the fact of the matter is we're all moving forward in a direction. Some of us faster than others. But the question is, what direction are you heading in? Are you walking in the blessings of God, or are you walking in the pain of a label? Are you walking in the blessings of God, or are you walking in the identity that the world has given to you? Are you walking in the blessings of who God is, or are you walking in the blessings of this world? And by the way, the blessings of this world are not very good. Then Jabez says, you would keep me from evil that I may not cause pain. Jabez is praying to God and saying, take away this label. Remove, strip this label from me. Make it anything other than the label. Make it anything. Can you please turn this into good for me? Can you please let me receive your blessings? I want to not cause pain. I don't want to live under this label anymore. I don't want to live under what people have told about me. No, I want to live under who you are. Jabez, for the first time in his life, was probably coming before God and realizing that he could be someone else other than causing pain. Some of us here in this room have been living under a label our whole entire life. We've been living under, you can't do this, or you shouldn't do this, or you're this type of person, or you're that type of person. We've allowed those labels to heap upon us and keep us pushed down in the earth that we live in. We've allowed the culture around us to identify and to label us of who we are. And instead of standing up and saying, who is my true identity in? My true identity is nothing in this label or what the world says. My true identity is in Christ Jesus. That's what matters. That's the only label that matters. Whether that label was given to you by your parents, by kids at school, or someone who got angry at you on the job, God can take those labels away from you and make them good. God specializes in turning what was evil into something that is good. He will take that label that was meant to harm you. He will take that label that dictated a large portion of your life, and he will make it into something good. And all we have to do is look towards him and ask him for that. See, truly, the only label that matters is what God says about you. That's the only label that matters. Do you know that the majority of the New Testament and a large portion of the Old Testament is a description of what God says about you and I? There are hundreds of verses that talk about who God says and what God says about you and I. Those are the labels that matter. Why do we search for labels from people of this world when we can find a label from God in this place? Why do we allow people to say, you're that person, instead of saying, no, God says this about me. This is what God says about me. There's some major things that we have to talk about here. Listen, these are just an example. This is just a few, but if you look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 10, I am, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. Do you know that you're complete in Him? You're complete in Jesus Christ. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are completed in Him. That means there's nothing on this face of this earth that you cannot face because you are complete in Him. That's what God says about you. It's not this label or any label that you plastered on you. It's the label that God gives to you that matters. And He says, we're complete. What does that mean? That means we can overcome this world. We can overcome the challenges that we have. We can overcome those things that are thrown at us. The simple truth is that when we know the source of our identity, all of these man-made issues with identity go away. If I could introduce every single person that's struggling with identity today to Jesus Christ, all of their issues would go away. Many of the people today that are struggling with their identity that says whether I'm male or female or any of those things are doing that because they have been persuaded at a young age to start to question these things. There's not too many people who have come to know the Lord at a very young age that follow Christ, that have a real relationship with Him, that will ever question their identity. Do you know why? Because God tells us who we are. I don't need someone down the street to tell me. I don't need a beer can to tell me who I am. I don't need anyone else to tell me who I am. I am who He says I am. Right. The I am tells me who I am. That's right. And that's all that matters. Nothing else does. Another one. Philippians 4, chapter 7 says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Do you know that you have a peace that surrounds and that surpasses all things, surpasses all understanding? You know, I'm wearing this label, procrastinator, and I half-heartedly thought as I walked in here today that I might have put the word fake on here. And the reason why is because today marks a year from my father's death. And you know, today I've been walking around with a smile on my face. I'm laughing and stuff like that. And I'm trying to think good things, right? But deep down inside my heart, I'm a little painful. It hurts a little bit. And as I sat there, as Corey and Christy were singing and practicing for worship team, I was sitting there and I'm thinking to myself, should I write procrastinator or should I write something else? And I was thinking of writing fake, and then God says, you're not fake. You can smile and still deal with pain. You can have all of those things, because you know why? I have the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. So that means even in the midst of death, even in the midst of a anniversary like this, even my brother sitting over here, I'm sure, is feeling the same thing. He could still have that peace, even in the midst of all of that. Why? Because God gives that to us. He gives those things to you and I. If I told you that you could have a peace that surpasses all things, you would probably sign up in a heartbeat. In the midst of all of your trouble, you know what? You can walk in and you can have peace. In the midst of someone screaming at your face, telling you you're wrong or you're this or you're that, you can have peace. In the midst of a death of a family member, you can have peace. In the midst of all of the struggling, all of the problems, all of life's weights that get us down, we can have peace because that's what God gives to us. See, this is the identity I want to wear. These are the things I want to live in. These are the things and the process that I want to be in. I don't want to take on these identities and these things that the world says. I want to live in the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. I want to be able to go about doing my job, even though the world around us seems to be going downhill very, very quickly. When someone comes in, and I had an interesting discussion this week. I can't get into the details of it, but I was in the middle of a heated conversation, and it was a he said, she said type of conversation, and they're arguing back and forth, and it was at camp, and I'm at camp, and I'm trying to mediate through this issue that's going on. And I'm having this logical conversation, and they're yelling and screaming at each other. And I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. If you guys would put this much effort into your jobs, and into solving this issue as you are getting mad, everything would be okay. And I just kind of chuckled. What's so funny? They asked, and I said, what's funny is that I have the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. So in the midst of this craziness of you two yelling at each other, I can still look at you and say, you guys sound and look like idiots right now. And they both were like, what? The pastor just called me an idiot. Yeah, you're being an idiot right now. What happened is they both started eventually laughing, and we worked through the issue and we found a solution to this. How many issues in your life could be overcome if you understood that the peace of God surpasses all understanding? How many road rage incidents could go away if you had the peace of God that surpassed all understanding? When that person cut you off, instead of jumping out, I saw a video of this guy. He jumped out of his car and he's beating on the window, and he's beating on the window. He's not breaking the window. All he's doing is breaking his knuckles. And I'm thinking to myself, if that man just had the peace of God, sometimes mistakes happen. Where's that peace of God that surpasses all understanding? One more. Actually, two more. Philippians 4, verse 13. I can do whatever I need to do in life through Christ Jesus who gives me strength. Philippians 4, 13, one of my favorite Bible verses. But I can do all things through him who strengthens me. I can do all things. There's nothing in this life that I am facing. Do I get discouraged? Yes, I do. But is there anything in this earth that I can't do? No, there isn't, because God gives me the strength to do all of those things. Am I perfect at all those things? Absolutely not. But I know he will give me those strength. I know he will give me what I need so I can stand and know that I can do these things. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in him. Do you know that you are a perfect workmanship of God? Yes, even you, Jay, that has the title odd, right? You are the created work of art that God has made. Each and every one of you. I don't care what anyone else has told you. I don't care what anyone else has said about you. You are perfectly created by God. You are a workmanship that he has created in his mind for not only you, but also to then do good works that he has also predestined for you to do. Do you understand that when we see this? See, this is, in 3 weeks, I'll be speaking at Camp Carl. And I'll be there for a week, and I'll be spending too much time in stinky cabins with stinky boys and girls. But one of the biggest things that when I'm there, this is one of my main verses I always tell, because you know what? Kids today don't know that they are workmanship. They don't know that the people around them was created by God to be a workmanship as well. They have to be reminded of these things. And see, they're searching. These kids, these people in general, are searching for something good. They're searching for meaning. They're searching for purpose. They're searching for something to fulfill their life. You know what that purpose is? It's what God created you to do. If I could again speak to those people and just say, listen, you are created. You in this room right now or watching at home online, you were created by God to do a work. Now, the question that we have to ask is, are you going to take on the workmanship that God has created you to do, or are you going to take on what life and this world has told you you should be? You are perfect the way that you are. You are perfect the way that you're created. Do I need to lose weight? Yes, I do. But I know that I'm perfectly created in God to do what He has given me the skill sets to do these things that I need to do. These are the labels that matter. Not anything else. You have the power to overcome the sin in your life. You have the power to become who God created you to be. You have the ability. It's not your ability. It's not your power. It's the power that Christ Jesus gives to you by that relationship in him. That's why we stress a relationship with Jesus Christ so much that we do. Because when you form that relationship, all things are possible. Everything is possible. You have the power to overcome the addiction of alcohol in your life. You have the power to overcome the addiction of porn in your life. You have the power to overcome the addiction of words in your life. You have the power to overcome the labels that people have said to you. Not your own power. This isn't something that you have to go and do. This is something that God gives to us. These are the labels that He gives to us. These are the identities that He wants us to take on. Why do we search for our identity in anything else other than Christ Jesus? We shouldn't. We need to run from those labels. Those are just an example of a few labels and a few identity that God gives to us. The idea here is that we have to stop putting weight in things that are outside of Christ Jesus. Stop allowing the world to tell you who you are. You're not a crazy Christian. That's what the world tells us. You're not hateful. That's what the world says about us because we disagree with their lifestyle. You're not unloving because you can't support. No, you can love someone and not agree with them. You can do all of those things. Again, some of us have been hanging on to a word that was given to you so many years ago. It has taken root inside of you, and it needs to be pulled out. That root of bitterness, that root of that word that spoke to you, this word of procrastinator. A few years ago, my wife and I were going through our flower garden, and we came across this tree that was only about that wide. It was real small. And I went to pull it, and I couldn't pull it out of the ground. And I told my wife, I said, "Man, I can't believe that small little tree, that small little sapling, is so hard to pull out." And so I decided to dig it out. And I'm thinking, it'll be easy. It's just a little sapling, right? The tree stood maybe about 2 or 3 feet tall. It was less than a half an inch in diameter. It was very small. And as I started digging, you know the root of that thing? It was roughly about 5 or 6 feet deep. I had to dig 5 to 6 feet down. It took me hours to dig this little sapling out. I was so tempted at one point just to chop the root right off and pull it out. But by then I'm like on this journey, I'm like, I have to figure out how deep this thing is. And my wife goes, "You're crazy, I'm leaving." So here I am in a 90-degree day. I'm digging this tree out and I'm sweating and sweat's just pouring off of me. And I finally got to the bottom of this tree and I yank it out and I hold it up and I literally held it up like this and the root went all the way to the ground. My wife comes out and she goes, "Just imagine the depth of the root of the words that people say against us that we allow to take hold in our dirt inside of us." Today, if you walk into my garage, hanging above my door is that tree. It's dead. It's dried out. But we use it as a reminder to remind us of the root of bitterness, the root of words and labels that people have said to us that have taken hold in the people around us, that have taken hold in the people that we love. We use that as a reminder to come against those labels. Between my sophomore and junior year, I decided that summer that I was no longer going to be called roly-poly. I wore labels like roly-poly, shy, quiet, Bucky Beaver, all of those things. And I decided when I left my sophomore year that summer that I was going to do something about it. And I'll never forget what happened. I started to grow in my relationship with Christ. I hadn't yet accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. That would happen later in that year. But my choir director called me at the end of summer. Her name was Beth Lahoti. Some of you guys know who that is. She calls me and she says, "Jason, listen." She goes, "I noticed that you didn't try out for swing choir." Swing choir was the chamber choir or the head choir, the top choir in our school. And I said, "No, I didn't." She said, "Why didn't you?" And I said, "Because I would never make it. I'm shy and quiet. I have 2 left feet. I can't dance." And she said, "I want you to try out." And I told her, I said, Miss Lahoti, thank you so much. Thank you for believing in me, but I can't do it. And she goes, no, I'm telling you, you have to. And I said, what, you need a guy that bad that you're just like trying to get me to do this? I said, so why don't you just let me in? She goes, no, you have to try out. And so that summer, that August, I went there and I tried out, and she sat me down and she looked at me and she said, I'll never forget these words. She looked at me, she said, stop wearing the labels that people give to you and start understanding who you really are. She goes, you have the voice, you have the power, you have the personality, you have the ability to do all of these things, to be good at this, but you have to believe in yourself. 3 weeks later, I went back to school, and I'm sitting in show choir. It was a class, and I'm sitting there, and this young lady sitting next to me looks at me, and she goes, hi, I'm so-and-so. I said, oh, thanks. I said, I'm Jason. I said, I know who you are. And she goes, who are you? And I said, I've gone to school with you almost my whole entire life. And she goes, nuh-uh. And she goes, wait a minute. You're Bucky. We used to call you Bucky. And I said, yep, that's me. And she goes, well, you were always quiet and shy. And I said, well, I made a difference. I made a decision. I was going to be different this year. I had it happen to me not once, but three times. It was all because someone said to me, my choir director said to me, I believe in you, and you need to stop taking on the labels that people have given to you. So what I want to ask you to do right now is look at the labels that you have on yourself. Rip them off. These are labels. Whether they're good, bad, or indifferent, no, you can't put them on their forehead, Brett, okay? Whether they are good, bad, or indifferent, these are labels that mean absolutely nothing. Listen, Pastor Chester, I didn't even tease you once this whole entire message.
Till now.
Till now, yeah, till now. No. He doesn't have the label on. I could do it now. These labels don't mean anything. What matters is what God says. Let's stop believing these labels and start believing that we are God's creative workmanship. Let's stop believing these labels and start believing that we have and can do whatever God asks us to do. Instead of believing these labels, let's believe that I'm complete. I can do all of these things. I can do anything that God has called me to do because He has made me complete in Him. Those are the labels that matter. These labels mean nothing. Let's throw these away and wear the labels that God has given to us. Will you stand with me, and will the worship team come, please? Today, I want to encourage you to remember, like Beth Lahoti reminded me, I can call her Beth now because I'm an older adult. She actually told me, I called her Miss Lahoti for all of my life up until just like a month or two ago. I saw her and I was like, Miss Lahoti, I want to give her a hug. And she's like, Jason, you're like in your 40s now. I'm like, well, actually almost 50. And she's like, stop calling. You can call me Beth. That's my name. I said, oh, okay. Thanks, Miss Lahoti. But having someone who believed in me makes a difference. And all she did was point me to someone who is bigger than her, stronger than her, who completes me, and that was Jesus. She's the one that pointed me to Christ. She's the one that eventually is the reason why I started searching for Christ in my life, realizing I needed a relationship with Him. She reminded me that God has different labels than what the world around us says. Today, if you're here and you're struggling, if you're here today and you're just dealing with pain or suffering or those things of life that just wears us down, maybe it's the sin of your life that's wearing you down. You don't have to wear that label because God has made you complete. God has given you the power that you need. God can do all things. Listen, when Philippians says, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens, not just certain things. There's nothing too large, nothing too big, Nothing too difficult that God can't help take care of in your life. All you have to do is submit yourself to Him and say, Lord, I want to live the label of who you say I am. This label back here, it says, hello, my name is Christian. It's not the name Christian as a boy. The name Christian is a title that we're given when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. Christian means being Christ-like. We can't be Christ-like unless we know what He says about us. So I want to encourage you today, if you're standing in this room, stop believing anything else other than what Jesus says you are. My summer year between my sophomore and junior year, you know, I stood in front of the mirror. You know what I said to myself? I'm capable of doing more than what I did. I said every morning I would stand in front of the mirror and I would look at myself in the mirror and say, I can do these things. Later on, when I began to know Jesus Christ, I stood in front of the mirror and I repeat these things. Oftentimes when I'm struggling with my confidence, when I'm struggling, you'll hear me in my bathroom staring at myself in front of the mirror saying, I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. I am His workmanship. I am loved. I am chosen. I am royal. I am all of these things. These are things that God says about us. And we have to stop allowing the world to remind us and let God remind us who we are. Sometimes we need that reminder. So I hope today that this is a reminder of who you are. You are special. You are important. I'm trying to think of that movie. Yeah, The Help. You are, say it for me. You're kind. You are special. Right? Smart. And important. Yeah. Yeah. We need to remind ourselves of those things. Remind us who God is. If you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, let today be this day. If you've never come to Him and said, Lord, I hear these things, I know these things, but I've never accepted those labels. May today be that day where you accept that label as Christian. It's as simple as following what Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says, that if we give our life, if we believe in our heart, if we open our mouth and confess our sins before Him, we shall have everlasting eternal life. It's simply believing what Jesus already says about us. What Jesus has already created for us to do. If you're here today and you've never done that, may today be that day. We're going to pray in a moment. I'm going to ask you to repeat after me when you're saying that prayer. Just accept Him. We're not going to call you out. We're not going to embarrass you. But we want you to know who you are. Who Jesus says you are. And that's a Christian, Christ-like. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you that we can believe what you have said about us because you are our creator. The creation can't tell the creator, what has been created can't tell the creator who we should be. The creator tells the creation what it needs to be. And you have said these things about us. And so we come before you today, Father, believing, grabbing a hold of, reminding ourselves, reminding our heart of who you really are. And we pray today in this room that if you are here today and someone has never asked, never believed the words of Christ and who they are in Him, may today be that day where they turn away from the sin of their life, where they confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord, where they would just say, Lord, you are my Savior. You are my King. Forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart. Let me follow you. If you said those words, welcome to eternity in heaven. Your reward is great. If you're here today with all of our eyes closed and all of our heads bowed as we're praying and seeking after God, if you're here today, you've already said those words, but somehow you've allowed the words of this world, the sin of this world, to grow heavy on your heart, to make you question who you are, to believe that you are something else than what God says you are. May you put that to sleep right now. In fact, may I say, devil, quit going against these people. I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to be gone from these people. These words, these things, these labels that they have been wearing for all their life can no longer affect them because you have no power. We live in what Christ says we are and who we are, and we live for Him and Him alone. And so those words of condemnation, those words of pain, those words of suffering, we cast out and we look for God to do something good. And we say, Holy Spirit, come and fill those voids with the beauty of who you are. As we refresh our mind to tell us that we are a workmanship, we are royal, we are chosen by you. You are our friend. You call us our friend. You call us your friend. We are your children. We are complete in you, Father. Let us be that today. We praise you. We glorify you. We honor you this day and every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship together.
He is jealous of me. His love's like a bird of me. I am a tree, bending the knee, laid his wing and mercy. All of a sudden, I'm unaware of these afflictions replaced by glory. I realize just how beautiful you are and how good your affections are for me. Oh, how he loves us so. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. We are his portion, and he is our prize. We're drawn to redemption by the grace in his eyes. With grace, seas and ocean, we'll all sink here. And heaven meets earth like a sloppy wet kiss. My heart turns violently inside of my chest. I don't have the time to maintain these regrets when I think about the way.
What a great reminder. God does love you. God thinks infinitely more about you than we even think of ourselves. And he wants you to grab a hold of that. Walk in that confidence. Walk in that power. Walk in the things that he has created you to do. May you today, as you leave this place, walk in the blessing of knowing who God says you are. May, as we walk into the communities, as we go home to our places, may they know that Christ is alive inside of us. And may we remind each other that he's alive in all of us. And his love is what saves us. Lord, we thank you for this day. I thank you for all that you have done, all that you will do, and all that you are doing. Help us to remember what you say about us, about our identity in you, and what you say about us. We love you, Lord. We glorify you. We honor you. We praise you. Help us to be a model of Christianity to those around us. As we prepare to leave this place, I just ask a blessing upon every single person in this room to walk into confidence in the power of who you are. May they be blessed by you and you alone, Jesus, as you guide and direct us to do your will, to be your hands and feet in the communities around us. We love you, we glorify you, we honor you, and we praise you now in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful week. We'll see you again next week.